Let's try that again. Good morning, everyone. So my name's David Kesterson, and we will be in Judges 16, 1 through 22 this morning. I'm really excited to get to talk to you about this passage. In this passage, we will see our great God use this incredibly complicated person, Samson, for his glory ultimately. Samson is declaring that the Lord is the giver of salvation in one passage, and in the next passage, Samson's just absolutely going off the rails. He is, that is Samson. But one of the most interesting things I think about Samson is not his strength, but it is the way that the Lord uses this self-centered, self-serving man that seems to enjoy just putting himself in the most dangerous situation possible. And yet, this is the man that the Lord has chosen to begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. I think it's important for us to notice that the Lord is using Samson to begin to save Israel by applying Samson's fleshly desires as the driving force of the wedge that will eventually pry Israel from the Philistines. Also, I think it's important for us to know that though Samson does go off the rail a lot, the Lord had equipped him. The Lord had given him what he needed to not do this, but it is what Samson does. And I say this because the Lord equipped Samson's parents with instructions. Be careful, drink no wine or strong drink. Eat nothing unclean, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. These instructions sound like the perfect way to keep a child safe from the world and focused on God. Yet, Samson's parents teaching him the rules of the Nazarite did not make Samson a man that sought after the one true God. The only God Samson appears to follow is the one he has created in his own image. You may ask what I mean by this about Samson, but Samson, even when he's young, has the Spirit of the Lord stirring in him, and nevertheless, he desires to marry a Philistine woman to be his wife. And then he has no issue eating unclean honey that has been in the carcass of a lion. And he does not see any issue with spending time with a prostitute. We'll see that this week. And he doesn't see a problem with living with a Philistine woman that he's not married to. And he is anything but careful with his walk with the Lord. So I believe that Samson is following a god, or maybe a better word would be an idol, that is good with Samson, following his fleshly desires as long as he doesn't cut his hair. Even at the end of today's passage, when his life hits rock bottom, and we don't see Samson turn to the Lord or ask for forgiveness. But we do see is the Lord discipline Samson and spare his life for now, because Samson is ultimately a servant of the Lord. So many times for us today, when we're in when hard things are happening in our life, things that we don't understand or foresee, we may go to the Lord and ask, why is this happening to me? Because we may not recognize that despite our union with Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we can be tempted to worship a God of our own making in certain areas of our life. Yes, believers can do this, especially when it's a sin we don't want to give up. Maybe it's a sin we like. John Calvin went so far to say, the human heart is a perpetual idol factory. So as we go through this passage, let's take the time to see if we are following the one true God, or are we following an idol made in our own image? And might the hard, unforeseen circumstances in our lives be the Lord drawing us back to Himself? Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, as we spend time in this dark passage, this dark time in the history of Israel, I pray, Lord, that you would use it to open our eyes to what we need to see, that you would use it to remind us that you are ultimately good, Lord, even when things seem to be going in a very bad direction. I pray that your Spirit guides my words and opens hearts, Lord, that hear this morning. It's in your name, Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. So again, we'll be in Judges 16, 1 through 22. Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw a prostitute, and he went into her. The Gazites were told, Samson has come here. And they surrounded the place and set an ambush for him all night at the gate of the city. They kept quiet all night, saying, let us wait till the light of morning. Then we will kill him. But Samson lay till midnight. And at midnight he arose and took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and pulled them up, bar and all, and put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that is in front of Hebron. After this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, seduce him, and see where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to humble him. And we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and how you might be bound that one could subdue you. Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now she had men lying in ambush in an inner chamber, and she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he snapped the bowstrings as a thread of flax snaps when it touches the fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Then Delilah said to Samson, behold, you have mocked me and told me lies. Please tell me how you might be bound. And he said to her, if they bind me with ropes that have not been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And the men lying in ambush were in the inner chamber, but he snapped the ropes off his arms like a thread. Then Delilah said to Samson, until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you might be bound. And he said to her, if you weave the 7 locks of my head with the web and fasten it tight with a pin, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. So while he slept, Delilah took the 7 locks of his head and wove them into the web. And she made them tight with the pin and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you." But he awoke from his sleep and pulled away the pin, the loom, and the web. And she said to him, "How can you say, 'I love you,' when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times, and you have not told me where your great strength lies." And when she pressed him hard with her words day after day and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. And he told her all his heart and said to her, "A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head is shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the Lord of the Philistines, saying, "Come up again, for he has told me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistine came up to her and brought the money in her hands. She made him sleep on her knees, and she called a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles. And he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. So as we go through today's passage, we'll be looking at the effects of idolatry. We'll divide the passage up into two sections. The first section, Samson's idolatry allowed him to be self-serving, which seemed devastating to Israel. That'll be verses 1 through 3. And the second section is Samson's idolatry caused him to make devastating choices that led to his capture and the Lord leaving him. That will be the rest of our section 4 through 22. So in this first section, verses 1 through 3, I think they illustrate for us very practical ways that Samson is serving the God he has created in his own image, who is his idol. And that God is okay with him sleeping with a prostitute from a people that hate the one true God. But it also is a picture of the Israelites, that though they're not mentioned, they have grown accustomed to living with and sharing life with the Philistines. Yet Samson's past and present actions are about to change Israel's relationship with the Philistines, because Samson is making enemies. And this must have seemed devastating to Israel. So let's see how Samson's idolatry allowed him to be self-serving, which seemed devastating to Israel. Let me read verses 1 through 3 again. Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw a prostitute, and he went into her. The Gazites were told, "Samson has come here." And they surrounded the place and set an ambush for him all night at the gate of the city. They kept quiet all night, saying, "Let us wait till the light of the morning, then we will kill him." But Samson lay till midnight, and at midnight he arose and took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and pulled them up, bar and all, and put them on his shoulder, and carried them to the top of the hill that is in front of Hebron. Now, this passage is pretty short, and there's just not much detail in it. And so it leaves us with many questions, like, Why is the Lord not mentioned in this passage? Is it because Samson's strength in this section is just some natural strength he has? We're not told that the Spirit of the Lord rushes upon him like times past, but this is that what's going on here? I don't think it is, because if it is, the Philistines would have just understood he's just incredibly strong and we just have to defeat him knowing that. But that wouldn't make sense why they go to Delilah as they do later in our passage. So I do think that this strength is from the Lord, but it's very much so used in a way that Samson is serving himself in it. Or why is Samson in Gaza in the first place? Gaza is about 45 miles away from where Samson lives. It's the southernmost city of the Philistines. This wasn't just around the corner or down the street. He went there very intentionally. And did the men of Gaza surround the gate and then go to sleep? I think this is one of the most interesting things of this passage. We hear that they're going to go guard the gate. They're going to surround it. We'll wait there until morning. And then Samson walks by them. I mean, are they just like snoozing, taking it easy? They have not, this is supposed to be their enemy, but for some reason they have gone to sleep. And so Samson just walks right by. And if they're sitting there asleep, is this how Samson walked to the city doors, uproots them, but doesn't fight or kill anybody? This is not like times past where Samson, the battles he's in, it tells us how many Philistines he's killed. This doesn't tell us he's killed any. He's just ripped the gate out and walked away with it. And finally, why does Samson carry the gate, this 1,000-pound gate, almost 40 miles, and then throw it down on top of a hill facing Hebron? Could it be to fulfill what the Lord promises Abraham after the near sacrifice of Isaac? He says, "Your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies." And I think that's very possible. Or could it be written for us to remember that Jesus Christ himself says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church? Praise God for that. Let us be reminded of that when we read this. But we may never know the answer to these questions as it pertains to Samson. But this section does inform us that Samson, like the Israelites, is drawn ever deeper into a way of life accepted by this worldly culture that is forbidden by the Lord. And these choices Samson made that seemed devastating to Israel are really going to separate Israel from the Philistines for their own good. You may wonder, how did Samson and the Israelites get to the place where they're making these decisions that just don't seem to make sense? Well, as I thought about this, I was reminded how many times I'll be watching TV or a YouTube channel, and, you know, looking for a show that has something decent on it. And so it starts out pretty good. You know, there's no foul language. There's no couples who aren't married living together. There's no homosexuality in it. And I think, okay, this is it. I'm going to watch this for a little bit and see where it goes. And then slowly, these things start to creep in. Especially if you're watching a TV series or a series of any kind. You know, it starts out pretty good. You're drawn into it, but then pretty soon, these things just start creeping in. And with me anyways, sometimes I'll notice it and I'll think to myself, well, maybe it'll only be this one episode, so I should watch it. Maybe watch the next one. Maybe it'll just be that episode. Yeah, maybe the one after it, because it's got a pretty good storyline going. So maybe, and then before long, we're somewhere we don't want to be. We've got things that are put into our heads that aren't glorifying to God. Things that are actually starting to make us numb to the things of God. And that's not where we want to be. But it is when we realize that this is the path we're going down to Gaza, if you will, that we must turn to the Lord, knowing that if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Romans 8:13. So don't wait. Don't wait. Confess your sin. Confess your sin knowing that Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, we read in 1 John 1:9. We must not forget those who are in Christ are His, and He will not let you go. He has paid your debt and given you the Holy Spirit to guide you in ways of righteousness. This is so important. And because Samson had never learned this, Samson's idolatry caused him to make devastating choices that led to his capture. Let's go ahead and read verses 4 through 22. After this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Seduce him and see where his great strength lies and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to humble him. And we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength lies and how you might be bound that one could subdue you." Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now she had been lying in ambush in an inner chamber, and she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he snapped the bowstrings. As a thread of flax snaps when it touches the fire, so the secret of his strength was not known. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Behold, you have mocked me and told me lies. Please tell me how you might be bound." And he said to her, "If they bind me with new ropes that have not been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And the men lying in ambush were in an inner chamber, but he snapped the ropes off his arms like a thread. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Until now, you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you might be bound." And he said to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my head with the web and fasten it tight with the pin, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So while he slept, Delilah took the 7 locks of his head and wove them into a web. And she made them tight with the pin and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he awoke from his sleep and pulled away the pin, the loom, and the web. And she said to him, "How can you say, 'I love you,' when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times, and you have not told me where your great strength lies." But when she pressed him hard with her words day after day and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. And he told her all his heart, and said to her, "A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head is shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart. She sent and called to the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up again, for he has told me all his heart." Then the lord of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She made him sleep on her knees, and she called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And the Philistine seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles. And he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. This is a really, really dark time for Israel and for Samson. But I think something that we should notice in this passage that isn't just brought out in the passage, but it's an observation I made as I read through here, is that Samson appears to be all alone. He doesn't have any Israelites who are pointing him to his sin and pointing him to the Lord. He's all by himself. The only people he keeps around him are truly his enemy. And so this might be a good time to ask the riddle that Samson asked at his wedding. What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Well, for Samson, it's Philistine women. He's snagged by them, and he can't get away. Yes, here we go again. Samson has found another Philistine woman. This time, she is in Sorek. Sorek was the name of a wadi valley that ran from the hill country of Judah and Dan all the way down to the Mediterranean. It went through the northern part of Philistia. So this is where he is now. And from the text, this episode took place over a pretty decent amount of time. We hear that she's went to him multiple times. These are day after day after day. She wore him down. It vexed him to death that she continued to ask these questions over and over. So it sounds like he's left Israel. Is the judge of Israel now living in Sorek? It appears so. So for the first time throughout the Samson narratives, the woman in his life is named. His mother wasn't named. None of the women he's been with are named. But now we learn that this particular Philistine woman, her name is Delilah. And her name means of the night. Seems like a fitting name for this woman who seduces Samson, tries to subdue him as he sleeps. Next, the lords of the Philistines come into the scene, offering Delilah 1,100 pieces of silver. So we really don't know how many pieces of silver she would end up with, because we don't know how many of the Philistine lords come to her. But we can kind of guess there are 5 major cities. And so if that was 5 lords, she would end up with 5,500 pieces of silver. And so what was that worth at the time? Well, we don't know exactly, but not long after this, King David buys a threshing floor and some oxen for 50 pieces of silver. So I think we can assume that this is a pretty good amount of money. And because of this, Delilah wastes no time trying to figure out where Samson, where he gets his strength from. As we're reading through that in the text, it is one verse to the next. They come to her, she's asking a question. She wants this money. And so when she asks him the first time, Samson answers, "If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, then I shall become weak." Well, I think something we should maybe know about that is bowstrings are made from animal sinew or an animal tendon. So Samson is a Nazirite. He's not supposed to be around dead people or dead animals. And what is the first thing that Samson tells her? And he knows he's lying. He knows that's not going to stop him. But what's he tell her just to tempt maybe his Nazirite vow? He says, "Yeah, if I'm tied up with these freshly killed animal tendons, yeah, that'll do it." And what's Delilah do? She goes to the Philistine lords and they bring her some fresh animal tendons to tie him up with. Of course, he lied and he breaks free. And so Delilah asks him again, "What is it that will make you weak?" And so Samson tells her, "If he is bound with new ropes that have not been used." Well, that sounds good, unless you were here for last week's sermon. The Israelites bound him in new ropes to take him to the Philistines. And when he got there, he broke them like a thread. So he's lied to her again. But now this third one is honestly my favorite. I think it's really, it's got some interesting things with it. So he says, basically, if you weave my hair into a fabric, that will make me weak. But for this to happen, and scripture tells us it happens, he laid down at the end of her loom with his hair and just takes a nap. And she goes to making his hair like fabric. This is crazy. I'm sorry. That's just, it's a crazy thing. Why would he say this? But he's just saying things that are more absurd all the time. And so she does this. He breaks free, destroys her loom and everything else in it. And this pushes her too far. She says, basically, "I thought you loved me. How can you lie to me these 3 times?" And so, over the course of time, Delilah resorts to nagging him. Just relentless. She will not quit nagging him about where his weakness lies. And she ultimately nags him to the point, Scripture tells us, he is vexed to death. He just can't take it anymore. So he finally tells her, this is one of the most important things in this whole passage, I think, for us to see. Samson tells her all his heart. That phrase is repeated 3 times. It's repeated 3 times because we need to hear this. We need to pay attention to this. So what was all of his heart? All of his heart is, "If my head is shaved, then my strength will leave me." Wait a minute. Is this the same Samson who just a chapter ago praises the Lord for strengthening him to defeat the Philistines? Has he forgot that his strength may not come from his hair, but comes from the Lord? That's what seems to be going on here. It appears that Samson picked one role for a Nazirite and thought if he followed it, he was good. I think we can see here that Samson is not trusting the one true God, but he's trusting a God he has created in his own image. a God that doesn't care if Samson lives in ways that are sinful as long as he doesn't cut his hair. We need to see that the Lord took Samson's strength because Samson either didn't recognize his strength came from the Lord or just wouldn't say it. I say this because Samson doesn't even know when the Lord leaves him. He didn't realize it. And then he is seized and his eyes are gouged out. This judge that was there to watch over and protect Israel is now blind. But we can't forget this is not the end of Samson. There is yet more that will be covered next week where we will find out where Samson's hope lies as his hair begins to grow back. This is such a dark section. Still, we know that the Lord is using all of this to separate Israel from the Philistines and bring glory to himself. And for those who are in Christ Jesus, we can be confident that the Lord, according to Hebrews 13, 3 and 5, will never leave us nor forsake us. We have the Holy Spirit living in us all the time. And when we trusted in Christ, he made us new. We were changed. Do we still struggle with making gods in our own image? Yeah, we do. We really do sometimes. But unlike Samson, who appears to be all alone, we are united with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are united with our brothers and sisters here at River Oaks. Not only that, but in growth group, you have close relationships where your brothers and sisters are watching out for you. They're here to tell you if you seem to be going down a bad path. They are here to encourage you. This is truly a blessing from the Lord for those who are his. We can always, and we need to always remind each other that when we are in Christ Jesus, he has paid for our sins. And he rose from the dead that we might be with him forever. But if there is anyone here today who does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, or you don't know this God that I am talking about, who is forgiving, who is there to always draw us back, who never leaves us, I ask you, please, after this service, come up and talk to myself or one of the elders. Let us spend some time telling you about him, that you might have the confidence that we have of an eternal salvation. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to you this morning, I thank you, Lord, that even in a passage that is so dark, we see hope. We are reminded that you don't let go of us. That, Lord, you will do what needs to be done to draw us back to yourself. And for that, we give you thanks and praise. It's in your name, Christ Jesus. Amen.